I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We shall read from verse 1 to verse 6. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to verse 6. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, hasty, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Amen. May God bless us in the reading of His most holy and sacred word. Next Lord's Day, Dr. Toh will continue with verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why would someone be led away with diverse lusts? Would you? Would you willingly allow someone to invade into your life and to lead you into a direction where you will indulge in many different forms of lusts? Now, lust simply means a very strong desire. That's what it means. When it is a strong desire for bad things, carnal things, the King James translators would translate it as lusts. But when your strong desire is for godly things, such as in Philippians 1:23, same word, the King James translators will translate this word as desire. Okay, Philippians 1:23 says, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire, that is the word, to depart, that is to leave this world and to be with God and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So this desire to leave this world and to be with Christ, which is a strong desire, and it is a good desire, it is translated as a desire, strong feeling, strong wanting. But when it is for something that is bad, sinful, the King James translators translated it correctly using the word lusts. Strong desire for things that are bad, that will hurt us. So why would someone allow his life to be led away with many, many wrong desires for bad things? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, same word, pride of life, the vanities of life, the love for novel things, new ideas, new way of worship, new forms, and people who love to be flattered, susceptible to flattery. These are all included in these diverse lusts. And when you realize that this list is not therefore too far-fetched, that people can be led away by all these things, because these things are very appealing to the flesh. And if you are not well-versed in God's Word, it is very easy to do. What are the steps that people will take to lead us, so much so that with diverse lusts, we would be so ready to follow? Now, we know the method in which they use to lead us into that direction whereby we will end up like that with diverse lusts in our lives. Then maybe we will be warned. And in this verse, verse 6, we will be able to study the steps that these people will take to lead us So much so that we will end up with diverse lusts. And when we know them, we must avoid them, so that we will not end up with diverse lusts, ordering, controlling our precious life on this earth. Now, what we have read earlier in 2 Timothy chapter 3 is a long list of sins. So far, the Bible did not describe the impact of these sins, except for the sin committed in verse 5. That sin that characterized the perilous times that will come in the last days. That's our time. The rest of the other sins, the impact of it is not mentioned. But the impact of the sin mentioned in verse 5, where the impact of it is recorded for us in verse 6. And that's where we get the method that they would use to cause us to end up living a life that is filled with diverse lusts, diverse strong desires. And we will not feel bad about it. We are not even aware of it. We are caught into this snare, this web of deception, thinking that all is well with our soul, when in fact all is wrong with our soul. Verse 5 is deadly, because verse 6 tells us, for of this sort, what sort? The sort that is mentioned in verse 5. Those who have a form of godliness. So the first thing that they will do in leading us this path of destruction, where we will end up with diverse lusts controlling our lives, is that they will appear before us as people with godliness. People who will appear godly. You are Christians. You love to be among Christians. And I'm sure you have this desire to listen to God's Word, either from the internet, or you'll buy commentaries that will explain God's Word to us. And so you're going to be very, very impressed by the biographies of these people when they are printed and published for our digestion, for our reading, for our encouragement. And then you will enjoy their life, and you will search out their writings in order to know their thinking and their teachings, because you are very impressed by their life. And many things about their lives that are dark, that are not so nice, they will not put in. They will only present to you a very nice, godly picture of these so-called servants of the Lord. And you will find them in books, you'll find them in churches today, you'll find them in seminaries, and scary still, you'll find them inside the hearts and minds of people. They will appear as godly. And that's the phrase that you find in verse 5, possessing a form of godliness. It is external. It is an image of godliness. Therefore, they will dress correctly. They will groom their hair correctly. They will look the part of one who is godly, because we call ourselves Christians. We want to listen to people who are from God, that they will teach us, they will illumine us, they will help us understand the Word of God. And that makes them very appealing. And that's how it works. That's how it becomes very potent and powerful. You may reason and say, well, are they not Christians also? Will we not find them in heaven also? And so this appearance of godliness, having an external form of godliness, is a very useful, effective tool that Satan will apply, especially in these last days. Because the ecumenical movement is going to be a global movement where the Word of God and the things of God will be propagated worldwide. And many people will think that they are Christian, and so this form of godliness will become a very effective tool. You look at how the people dress who are the leaders in the World Council of Churches. They are the ones who are leading the ecumenical movement. They are all pastors. They dress in priestly garments. They talk Christian talk. They sing the same hymns that we sing. They read Scripture the way we also love Scriptures. They graduated from seminaries. They have a string of theological degrees. They dress the part. That's the meaning of the word. And that's how your God and my God will be lowered. Because you will assume that they are on the same side. They are part of us. They are also fighting God's battle. And because of that, you and I will be lulled into a sense of sleepiness. We do not examine and critique them the way we ought to. Where we ought to examine their writings, we ought to make sure that what they say are truly what they are in life. Because the second half of verse 5 tells us, but they deny the power thereof. Denying the power thereof simply means that what they are is just a shell. They are life. They are understanding of God's word. They are teaching. They are believing God's word completely absent. You give them a passage to preach, to teach. They don't know how to preach or teach God's word. They just simply read the same words that are found there, and they just simply mention it, repeat it over and over again, say the same thing over and over again, and then they just attach it with a little bit of illustration here. They tell you stories, with testimonies, and then that's it. And more often than not, the way that they preach, they will propel themselves. Whether directly or indirectly, covertly or overtly, they will make sure that they smell very fragrant before your eyes. When they talk about this witness or that testimony or that illustration, inevitably they will talk about themselves. So that you will have a very high regard for them. As if they have already arrived while you are struggling to arrive. If you struggled in bringing up your family, they will present it in such a way whereby they will tell you, look at my family, it's a godly family. That's what they will do. They deny the power thereof. How will you know? By looking at their lives. Inside out. How do you look at their lives? By checking their doctrine, their preaching, their teaching, their understanding of God's word. That's how you tell. Because if you don't use the Bible, the Word of God, to evaluate them, you can't. Because every evaluation without the Word of God will become very subjective. You're comparing man with man. But when you use the Word of God, you're comparing every man with God Himself. And with that comparison, you will be able to know. You'll be able to discern. And then once you have the discernment, the Bible warns us, from such you turn away. Far, far away you avoid, and that is in the present tense, imperative, a command. The moment you find out who they are, you stay away from them. Whether he is related to you, whether he is your friend, whether you're indebted to the person or not, you stay away. Because it's only a matter of time that that person will very slowly but surely invade into the innermost part of your soul. And they're going to control your thinking, your mind, and then control your heart. And the moment that happens, you are finished. And the Bible there says, turn away continuously all the time. Don't let them come near you. And because it is in the middle voice, nobody can do it for you. You've got to do it yourself. Your mom and your dad will do it for you while you are young. Under their protective shell and care. But the moment you are old enough, you better learn to stand on your own 2 feet and stay far away from this person. Whatever genteel demeanor that they might have outwardly, you don't be deceived. It's only a facade. You see them, they smile, they bow. You see them, they are very soft-spoken. Be careful. Be very, very careful. How else are they going to creep in? Because that's exactly their method. Because that's exactly what you find in verse 6a. First, the demeanor to lull you into a sense of sleepiness. One of us on the same side. Secondly, their genteel demeanor. That's how they creep in, isn't it? For of this sort are they which creep. Ooh, creepy, creep. Present tense. They keep on creeping, keep on creeping, keep on creeping until they find a way in. Into where? Into your house. Houses are supposed to be places of safety, security. You come home to your house. You let everything down. You let your hair fall. You just walk around in your shorts and in your singlet. You are at home. And for these people to creep into your home, which is supposed to be a place where you relax and you feel safe and secure. Ooh. That's how deadly and dangerous they are. And they will worm themselves in. It's only a matter of time. They will keep at it, keep at it, keep at it, and they will not stop until they succeed. And that's why the Bible's warning to us is, you stay away. You turn away. How would you know? From the way they teach and preach the Word of God. And in order to do that, you better know the Word of God. Or else you can't know, because they will look very good. If this person is in our church, and they have been there for a long time, and they present to you a demeanor of soft-spokenness, dressed very nicely, always very calm and collected, and very, very quiet, and every time you talk to the person talks in a very soft and gentle way. And then one day I tell you that this person called me up and he scolded me and he is a terrible person. And he denied and said, no, I'm not like that. Reverend Craig is the one who is very quarrelsome. Who do you believe? Hot-headed Kwek Swan Yew? Or this soft-spoken, nice guy? Surely they'll believe him. They won't believe me. People know that I'm always the Peter-like kind of character. Like to quarrel. Like to fight. Always want to ask so many questions. Right? True or not true? The fighter kind. Won't lie down and play dead. Like to quarrel and fight with people. True? Enjoy going to lawsuit, that kind of person. Right or not? That's why when Dr. Jeffrey Koo wanted to pass the bitter cup, he says, this question you want to take over. You know that kind of personality? Yeah. Very quarrelsome. But this one, soft, smiling, nice. You be careful. Now, I'm not saying that you turn the other opposite and people who are like that are also fine. Huh? Everybody must be who you are. Honest, transparent, sincere, genuine. That's what it means. These people, you find them out and you stay far away from them. They will creep in into the innermost part of your sanctuary. Your home. And they will do it. They have succeeded many times over throughout the ages. Why do you think Satan will employ this method in the last days if it is not effective? He had been in existence since the beginning of time in the Garden of Eden. He had thousands of years to master the craft of deception. And these are the last days. He knows it. He knows his days are numbered. And if this method is not effective, you think he will employ this method again? His master, you think you're going to be smarter than him outside of the Word of God? The only way you can be smarter than him is when you know the Word of God and you apply the Word of God to find him out. So that you will not be deceived by him. Because all they have is just a facade. How do you know? You look at how they understand God's Word. They understand God's Word like an unbeliever because that's exactly what they are, an unbeliever. They can't understand the Word of God. You give them a verse, they just simply repeat it. They just don't know how to explain it. And the worst still is they don't even apply it into their own lives. All they have is just a facade. They just pretend. They just hang around their neck the Bible. That's all. In the heart, it is just as black. The Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ describes such people as whitewashed sepulchre. Look good on the outside, but inside dead man's bones. And that's what they are. And you stay away from them. If not, they're going to creep in and they're going to take over. They're going to take over. They will creep. Present tense is the word creep. They sneak in and they will come and they will come and they will come. Who will they target? That's the next question we need to ask. Who will they target? Now the phrase used there, is silly women, right? They will lead captive, present tense. Silly women, literally it means small women. So, based upon the context, it refers to silly women. Now, why didn't they put down their silly men? That's the $64,000 question, isn't it? Why not silly men? I'm sure there are many silly men because wives know them very well. They're our own husbands, right? Silly husbands. Why silly women? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Lead captive silly women. Why are they called silly women? Because they have low IQ? No. Why are they called silly women? The next three words describe who they are, isn't it? What did he say? They are called silly women because they are laden with sins. The word laden there means pile their sins one on top of the other continuously and they will not stop. That's why it is placed in the perfect tense. They started piling their lives full of sin and they continue to pile their lives full of sin. So the silly women has nothing to do with IQ. It has everything to do with their life. Whether it is one of holiness and godliness or one of carnality. They pile their lives filled with sins. That's why they are called silly women. Husbands, you make sure that your wife is not a silly woman piling her life full of sin. You may be godly, you may be strong in the faith, but Satan will creep into your home and he will get to you through your wife because he knows you love your wife. He knows he could destroy you by destroying your wife. Is that not true? You can't serve the Lord when you can't even have a wife who is godly. When you continue to quarrel with your wife. Your wife wants to be carnal, wants to be worldly. How are you going to serve the Lord effectively? You can't divorce her. You will be hampered by her carnality and he knows it. You will serve with both eyes blind and with one leg cut off. Hopping around. So much limited when your wife is affected by these so-called godly men. That's your weakness. You must make sure and encourage your wife to be godly because that will be your ultimate destruction if you don't. It's only a matter of time. When you do not encourage your wife to be more godly in attending Bible studies, in prayer, in knowing more of God's Word, in serving the Lord, while they have a lot of time, the children are now grown up, you just allow them to sit in the home, you have your maid to look after your house, they have nothing to do. You have brought in tons of money for her to spend. What do you think will happen? Please, pray tell. What do you think will happen in that kind of environment, in that kind of situation? What do you think will happen? Obviously, they will pile themselves with sins, with many sins. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh will prevail, will pervade. And that's why they are called silly women. Because that is the entrance. You have allowed your wife to become such. You allow your daughters to become such. You do not believe? You ask Adam one day. Why do you think Satan went through to Adam through Eve? She was the weaker link. She was so easily deceived. Adam was not. And through her, Adam ate the forbidden fruit. Adam was strong. He had the character not to go near the forbidden fruit. He did not even eat it. But somehow Eve was attracted to it, and when she was tested and tempted by the serpent, she succumbed by her own words even before the action. God say, I can't even touch. God did not say you can't touch. She did not know the word of God. If she knew it, she should not have added to the word of God, and neither should she subtract from the word of God. She did both. Whether it was deliberate ignorance, we cannot tell for sure. But she tempered with the word of God, and because of that, it led her down the road of destruction and sin, and through her, Adam sinned as well. And because of him, the whole world fell into sin, for he was put the head of man's kind, man's salvation, mankind. He was put in charge, and because of him, we all suffered total depravity because of the first Adam through Eve. Therefore, husbands, fathers, you make sure you protect your daughters. Men and women are made differently. We are not saying that there are no silly men. There are also many silly men. They are called simple men. You find them throughout the book of Proverbs. Their weakness is strange women. Those are the silly men, foolish men. Immoral sexual problem. That's man's main weakness. Hundreds of verses are given to us throughout the Bible warning us, warning sinful men of strange women. But the women's weakness is found here. And through her weakness, men will also fall. And that's how they enter into the man's life and destroy the man as well. God, your wife, help her to be godly. Encourage her to be godly. Because through her, Satan will creep into your homes and it will invade, and very soon he will control. Because you allow your wife to be piled up with many sins in her life. And you do not do anything about it, and you let it remain. And very soon, this soft-spoken preacher will come, and with his soft-spoken speeches, he will lead your wife astray. And through your wife straying, very soon you will also follow, because you want to maintain peace in the home. Through her nagging and through her persuasion, and because you love her, very soon your guard will be down and you will join this man who only has an appearance of godliness. You look at the churches of today. Look at all these mega churches. Look at churches that propound health and wealth gospel. Find out how they reach into the homes of thousands through silly women. Very often, they are called those who have lots of money and a lot of free time in their hands. All they do is to go from high tea to one high tea to the next. And all they do when they sit down together is to chit-chat, chit-chat, chit-chat. And they compare expensive gifts and purchases. Is that not true? Piling themselves with many sins. You watch out. Very soon they will creep into your heart and they will control you. And that's how they will be led away with diverse lusts. Because they will be told that these are fine. These desires are okay. These desires are godly. Health and wealth equals godliness. They will be told, these are the men which have an appearance of godliness. That's all. But they deny the power thereof, because the Bible made it very clear. Jesus did not go to the cross to make you rich materially in this life. They twist it. God will make us rich eternally, materially, in the life to come, in the new heaven and new earth, on His terms, not in this sinful world, not in this life. They will twist and turn. They will take a little bit of God's word here, a little bit of God's word there, and they will twist it and shape it and reform it into something that is so full of truth, but actually it is a lie. That's how they become so deadly and dangerous. And they are already here because we are living in the last days. And they will continue to do their utmost to creep in. So don't buy into all these so-called popular theology. Are they not Christians? That's beside the point, isn't it? You and I will never know who is not a Christian. Even if they say they are Christians, does that make them Christians? You know that's not true. And that's why the next few messages will be on that. Don't believe in what people say without first checking it against the Word of God. Many of them will say they are Christians. How else are they going to deceive you? You want them to say what, I am satanic? Will that work? Only a fool will believe, isn't it? You want them to come to your church and tell you that I actually am a spy for Satan? You want them to say that to you? Will you accept them into membership? You will never. They will have to tell you that I am a Christian just like you. How else are they going to creep into your heart, into your mind, into your homes? Satan is no fool, you know. Why do you think the Bible describes him as an angel of light? He will have all the marks of someone who appears to be full of light, but in fact he is full of darkness. But he will appear as one who is light. Or else deception will not work. That is the heart and soul of deception. Appearance of godliness. You think they will not come from Bible colleges and seminaries that you are approved of? You think they will just simply come from seminaries that you know, we all know, are liberals? You think they will come from Princeton Theological Seminary or Fuller Theological Seminary, where we all know that they are already citadels of liberalism and modernism? If they come to the church and they apply to be pastors, preachers, you want them? Obviously we don't want them. And even if they want to apply, we will ask them so many questions to make sure that they are not contaminated. How do you think that they will come in and creep in? Which Bible college do you accept? You know the answer. FEBC. So the best way to creep into this church is to send someone who is a wolf in sheep's clothing graduating from which Bible college? Of FEBC, of course, sir. And you all obviously think all from FEBC must be goody-goody, right? True or not true? And then when you come for the interview and you interview the person, your guard is down. He must be good. He from FEBC, what? Right? He must be okay. And so he comes in. All he has is just a facade. Inside, just as dark as charcoal. No change. And he will creep in. He will control your Sunday school. Very soon he will become in the leadership. And before you know it, because they stand inside the church and they preach from pulpits, that is your home, your guard is down. As opposed to when you are overseas, you enter into another church, when you listen to the message, your guard is up. You become more critical, you become more careful. But when you are in your own church, you assume that what comes up from this pulpit is healthy and good for digestion, when in fact, what you have, a preacher, all he has is just a form of godliness. You die. That's how churches die. One after another. And you think it will not happen to this church? You think God has put a stamp of immunity on this church when it was founded? No such immunity. Every believer must be on guard all the time. Whether you are coming to this church or any other church, whatever message you are listening to, whatever book you are reading, whatever you are hearing, you make sure that you check it against the Word of God, no matter who says it. If it is not proper, not according to God's Word, you don't accept. No exception, please. You ask questions. You find out the truth. Because your soul is at stake. The soul of your sons, your daughters are at stake as well. Oh, that means very hard, you know. Yeah, very hard. Why is it so hard? Because it is a battlefield. The reward for Satan will be your souls. He wants more company in hell. And he wants to see you there happily for him. The more the merrier. Why do you think the Bible says it is a narrow road? It is a narrow gate. It is very straight. Straight means very, very narrow. Why do you think when Jesus tells us, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? That means in the last days, true, genuine faith will be very rare. Make sure your guard is up. Because this is the method that Satan will use to ensure that you will end up led away with many lusts. And you don't even know that they are lusts and they are unhealthy and they are sinful in your life. First, send in people with the appearance of godliness, the form. Second, the method. Stealthily creep into their homes. Win their confidence. Make them trust you. Because it's so easy when you have this appearance of godliness, isn't it? And they will do favors for you. Very helpful. And very soon, you invite them to your home to eat. And you accept them. And then thirdly, when your life is weighed down by sin, you make it so easy for them. Your sinful life. You make it easy for Satan when you do not live a holy life. You allow your life to be laden with sin. Anyone in your life, primarily the woman, your wife, because you are married to her, to death do you part. And through her, Satan will get you. And he will not stop until he gets you. As long as you are alive, he will get you. The more you serve the Lord, the more he wants to get you. And he will get you through your wife. Pray and encourage your wife to be godly. And then you will understand how wonderful it is to have a godly wife in your home who will look after your family, your children, the affairs of the household. But to do that, you have first to be godly, isn't it? Because you have no idea how your wife who is godly will look like, because you don't know what godliness is yourself. That is the only safeguard. That's the only protection. Because that is the method that had always worked throughout the ages, and it will continue to work today, and it will continue to work tomorrow until the Lord returns. Very effective, very potent, so much so that when we are led away with diverse lusts, we don't even realize it. Not at all. You look at all the people in the mega churches, when they are told, health and wealth equals salvation. How could they believe this? They live a life of carnality. They continue to love the things of this world. They continue to surround themselves with the luxuries of this life. And this becomes their all-consuming desire, whereby the Bible has already warned us the love of money is the root of all evil, but they have turned it into the love of money is the root of all godliness. And these people believe them. They really believe them. Because they look to them rather than to look to God. They go to these churches where the Word of God is not taught, and if they ever mention the Word of God, they distort it and they twist it to their own destruction and for their own gain and benefit. And silly women imbibe, carry them home, and because the husband loved the silly wives, and they themselves will one day also become silly husbands. And before you know it, the whole family is sucked in hook, line and sinker, and very soon they are destroyed. Unless by the grace and mercies of God they come out. If not, they are finished. This is the perilous times we are living in. And these people are out there, and they are looking for victims. Don't become one. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us to be discerning. Help us to be strong and courageous in these last days. Help us to be wise as serpent and harmless as dove, to know all the ways and the tools of the evil one, so that we may not succumb or fall into any one of them. We pray, Father, for all who are here this evening, that Thou will be ever gracious and merciful to protect us, to defend us, O Lord, that we may not fall into the diverse lusts and be led away from the faith. Help us, therefore, to be godly and to know the Word of God and to have a heart that will obey the Word of God, and that our lives will count for eternity in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May Thou be merciful to defend Thy people against the wiles of the devil through Thy holy word and the still small voice of Thy Holy Spirit, that there be none of us who will be called silly men or silly women, laden with sins, for we will become prime targets for the evil one. O Lord, may Thou be merciful to sanctify us by Thy truth, for Thy word is truth. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.